Hello and welcome to All Things Travel. Are you a fan of U2, Guinness, or James Joyce? Have you always dreamed of visiting Dublin and don't know where to start with planning? Today we cover what you need to know if you've always wanted to visit Dublin, and Ryan might treat us to a few stories of his trips to Dublin. You're listening to All Things Travel, episode 41, original air date March 31st, 2021.
Well, Shane, it was just St. Patrick's Day, and so maybe you've been thinking about going to Dublin.
I think I was thinking about going to Dublin during the Christmas holidays. I'm always thinking about going to Dublin. Why do you think that Dublin is such a high bucket list destination?
Oh, man. I think Ireland in general, I think for a lot of people in North America, they have a family connection to Ireland. And, you know, whether it's in their lineage or, you know, there's a lot of connections to Ireland from a community standpoint. There's just something about it. I mean, there's just a soul factor to it. It just feels like a good place to visit.
And maybe all the pictures of the lush green rolling.
Yeah,
hills
absolutely.
Like
I said, you know, when you're in Ireland, you know, if they know that they're talking to a group from the United States, it's always, you know, well, who's got family connections here? And if you do, that's you get one notch. If you actually know where your family came from, you're in. Like it doesn't matter if it's where you're visiting in Ireland, it's that connection. You know, I've traveled with folks who have police officers, firefighters, and their families. And so they'll bring patches. And so you go to the pubs and there'll be patches from all over the United States, from police officers, from firefighters. There's just such a connection between the two countries that I think really makes people feel comfortable and welcome. And the Irish people are just amazing. I mean, it's just such a wonderful place to explore.
Yeah. It just seems like it would be fun, but also a little comfortable. Not a language barrier and similar enough to the way of life here, but different enough to, so that you know that you're in a foreign country.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, that's the right way to say it. You know, it's foreign, but familiar. We should trademark that. I like that phrase,
foreign but familiar.
It really is. You know, I live for my grad school time. I lived in Boston. Dublin as a city kind of feels that way. It's got some history, it's got some depth, but there's also a lot of action, a lot of energy going on.
Fun. Well, before we get to that, we do have one thing to ask of you, and that is, would you please share the show, especially this episode, if you have a friend interested in Ireland, please share this with a friend, and it'll help us grow a little more, give you something travel-related to talk about with your friends, and they'll realize how cool you are because you're the cool person that shares all the cool podcasts. Well, one thing to talk about with any vacation is what to do when you get there.
And there's lots to do.
Yeah, and it looks like there's a lot to do in Dublin. And I want to start with the first one because it seems to pop up number one on every list, and it is the Temple Bar. Looks like it's the oldest bar. Now, is this the Temple Bar area?
Yes.
Or is this not the Temple Bar itself? But the Temple
there
Bar.
There is a Temple Bar, but there's a Temple Bar neighborhood.
Gotcha. Okay.
And the Temple Bar neighborhood is, and I'll talk about the oldest bar here in a little bit. The Temple Bar area is very touristy, very nightlifey. So if that's what you want, that's definitely there. If you do any sort of walking tour of Dublin, you will walk through there. It's great to see. That's not necessarily where I would suggest you stay.
Right. Okay. Because it made me wonder when someone comes to visit the North Texas area, maybe they're going to go to Fort Worth and they say, what should I visit in Fort Worth?
Right.
The first thing I'm not going to say is Billy Bob's. Our Billy Bob's stockyards area would be sort of that overly touristy part of Fort Worth. Yeah. If there's a certain type of person that will enjoy that.
Yes, absolutely.
And then some other things that jump out. And I don't know if this is just because Google knows that I like beer, but a couple of other fun things that jump out are the Guinness Storehouse and the Jameson Distillery.
Sure. Yes. So, and again, both of those are touristy, like you said, but both are absolutely fantastic. If you enjoy going to breweries and learning about how beer is made and trying different types of beer, the Guinness Storehouse, the St. James Gate is a must to visit. It is amazing. One of the things that's different here than other brewery tours is you can actually learn to pour your own Guinness. The Guinness pouring is very particular, and they actually teach you how to do that. And your tour actually ends in a bar at the top of the store, the storehouse, where you're overlooking all of Dublin, and they have little etchings of the windows to show you what you're looking at. It's just, it's an amazing tour. And then the Jameson Distillery, the two times that I've stayed in Dublin, I've actually stayed right next door in the Smithfield area. And it's a very solid distillery tour. If you've done the Bourbon Trail, it's kind of that feeling, but it's definitely there. I would also put Teeling in that realm too, you know, if you're kind of comparing different Irish whiskeys. So I would do both of those in Dublin.
Cool. So how the Dublin Castle, did you get a chance to visit the Dublin Castle?
I have been to the Dublin Castle, and that is part of the history of the British versus the Irish. That definitely plays into the conflict, the sightseeing that you have to see in the city.
Sure.
And it's also a beautiful place to see in and of itself.
And like most cities, there's several museums, including an Irish whiskey museum and parks. And it looks like there's a lot of interesting doors to see throughout the city. I guess just doors to people's houses, apartment or flats.
So one of the things, when you're in Ireland and someone tells you this is why, and they start launching it on a story, you can guess that it's partly true. And partly sometimes I feel like they just want you to, they want to see how far they can push you. But this story is actually true as far as I know.
Those are the best types of stories, by the way.
There was British royalty who I believe died. And so everyone was instructed to paint their doors a somber dark color. Okay. And the Irish people being the Irish people, and at that point being in conflict with the British, decided to do the exact opposite, and they painted their doors all sorts of vibrant colors. And those colors have stuck around today and make for really unique neighborhoods. Absolutely. You brought up I want to go back to the Irish Whiskey Museum. This is, I think, in my opinion, this is better than the Jameson Distillery. Because this actually is kind of a museum where you learn about the history of Irish whiskey in general. And they actually have like different stories that are going on. So you're kind of immersed in the story. And at the end of it, there's a tasting room where you actually get to taste different types of whiskeys. And you can actually pay an upgrade so you can have some of the better Irish whiskeys.
Nice.
And I would say right next to that is an Irish whiskey tasting bar that is absolutely fantastic. I don't remember the name off the top of my head, but you're getting a trend here in me talking about Dublin.
It seems to be there was a lot of whiskey involved.
But you know, if whiskey's not your thing, history abounds. So I already brought up the Troubles. I already brought up the rebellion between the British and the Irish, and that's going to be everywhere across the city. One of the things that you want to see at Trinity College is the Book of Kells, which is one of the oldest illustrated Bibles in the world. It's an amazing place. The library in that area was actually, this is Shane, I'm connecting this to Shane, I are geeking out here, was the was the archetype for the library in the Jedi Temple in the prequel movies. And a tip for seeing the Book of Kells. If you go the last hour that it's open, the admission is half price. But you only have you only have the last hour. So you have to kind of weigh that. If it's just to go in, check it out, to check it off a box and say, I've seen it, you could save some money that way.
Otherwise, you get to spend a little more time looking at it.
Absolutely.
Sign in the back, stuff like that.
Yes, absolutely. So lots of culture, lots of history, you know, lots of good drink. Obviously, the pub culture is amazing here. There's just so much to do.
And I guess lots of dining, lots of shopping, and all that sort of big city fun. One of the things that I was really interested in is the wool. I'd like to visit that's one of the things I've always wanted, was a nice wool cardigan, but I want to get it there. There's a really cool one at Universal, but I want to get one in Ireland or in Scotland.
And, you know, a suggestion there that I would have for that is to go the Grafton Street area. So if you're over the Grafton Street area, the Trinity College area, and you actually go over to Nassau Street, there's a lot of, I don't want to say higher end, but kind of more traditional stores. So Shane talked about the wool, some jewelry, even housewares and things like that. They kind of get you away from the touristy shops, a little more unique offerings, if you will.
Maybe a little more deeper into the culture versus just the trinket souvenir type.
Yeah, absolutely. Type and you know, the Grafton Street, Temple Bar, Trinity College, St. Stephen's Green, which is a large park area. That's all within walking distance.
Right there. Okay.
I mean, it's all, I mean, there is public transportation in Dublin, but for the most part, you're going to be kind of in the same areas. And this is a very walkable city. You want to walk in Dublin.
Yeah, because I did see, I'll talk about it later, one option for getting around walking a little less. But yeah, I think just the best way to see a city is to walk it. Not, you know, versus a tour from a bus.
Right.
How about the Dublin Spire?
Spire. So the two times that I've gone to Dublin, one of the things, and I've led groups, I've talked about that in the past. And so one of the things that we wanted to do was keep everybody up that first day. And we've talked about that, Shane. You go to Europe and you want to keep everybody up and so the first thing that we would plan on that first day of Dublin is a walking tour of the city. And to be quite honest, between you and me, it was more to keep everybody up than it was to soak in the culture.
Right.
You know, and I remember both tours, they would walk down O'Connell Street and they would point up to the spire and they go, so what do people think of this? And some people would say, oh, I think it's great. And if people said it was great, oh, the person hated it. And if people said, oh, it's kind of weird. Oh, the walking tour host was offended. So it's kind of, you know, it's kind of the Eiffel Tower thing where people from Paris kind of say, well, what do you think of our tower? And regardless of what you say, they say the opposite.
Take the opposite.
It's a pole in the middle of the street. I mean, literally, it is a metal fire. You know, I'm all for art in the city. I want to see a variety of things. It's there, and it's a good, to be honest, it's a good navigational tool. It's not worth, you will see it while you're going around seeing other things. It's not something you have to seek out in and of itself.
Yeah, this is kind of fun.
And I hope I'm not offending people. I'm giving my honest opinion about my experiences. So,
well, and that was kind of my intent, was to go find all these top items that you want to check off when you go to Dublin, and then see what you think of them, having been there a couple of times.
Yeah. Two things that you don't have on your list is Kiliman Gaol, which is a famous jail, and the post office. And both of those, if you are going because you want to learn about the Troubles, if you're going because you want to learn about the history between the British and the Irish, those are two places you're definitely going to want to see. And again, doing some sort of tour with that, doing a walking tour, you're going to be able to do those quite easily. The one thing I will say, especially with the jail, is you need to get reservations. You can't just necessarily show up because those places do fill up throughout the day. And my guess is with COVID, even more so.
Yeah, the jail looked really interesting. It looked like there was some on the tours, there were some interesting stories. Maybe not great stories about just some awful treatment of prisoners there.
You will get, when you go to Ireland, you will hear stories after stories after stories in a good way. I mean, it's an amazing, it's a culture that lives on telling the stories of its history. And I love that.
Maybe that's one of the draws, is we kind of have that archetype of the Irish person telling the stories, spinning the yarns. And like you said, mostly true, maybe embellished a little bit.
Yeah.
And this probably isn't something that Ryan and I would do, but if this would be something that interested you, I would interest you. I found it's a lot like the Go Vegas pass that Ryan found for Las Vegas. It's a Dublin pass, and it includes a hop on hop off tour where you can get a tour of the city and hop off the bus and hang around at some places and then hop back on if you want. It includes some attractions for a sort of a packaged discounted price. And I will maybe include a link to that in the show notes.
I have done the hop on, hop off. And I actually think that's a good way to get around. I did not package it with attraction tickets, but it's a good way to see the city, especially if it's a nice day, because they're double decker buses. So you can sit up on top and you can kind of get a navigation. In fact, I say do that one of your first days because it helps you kind of navigate where everything is.
Okay. See something you like, you can go back another day
and
check it out.
Yeah. And a lot of times you can get like 2 days for a cheaper price. That might be worth it, especially, you know, to rest your legs a little bit. You know, if you know you want, you know, if you're down at Trinity College, getting over to Guinness is a decent walk. You're not necessarily going to want to do that multiple times. Sure. So, you know, or going up to Phoenix Park is very far out there, you know, to go to the zoo or something. So having that hop on, hop off bus that's going to take you to the sites does make sense.
And did the bus have some headphones or some way you could pick a language? You could pick your language and get some information.
I've done that in larger cities, Madrid being one of them, like you said. And yeah, it's the same type of thing. One thing that was different in Ireland than other places was the bus driver was actually narrating as well.
Okay.
So I think the English version was him talking, which was a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, but that would be more fun.
Yeah.
He might have embellished a little bit himself.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And in this pass, I guess with the attractions, it works as an app. So you don't have to worry about, you can keep it on your phone and not worrying about carrying around tickets or anything like that. Neither Ryan nor I are golfers, but golf is certainly one of the attractions in Ireland. And, you know, basically I just hear that it's good there. Was one of the things when I asked a friend of mine what questions he had about a visit to Dublin, a lot of his questions centered around golf. The top bucket list courses are expensive, but if you are interested in just golfing in, is that the term, golfing and playing golf in beautiful Ireland, I found a resource that listed, I think it had 18 golf courses where you could play golf in Ireland for 30 euros or less.
Okay.
So that sounds like a pretty, I've never played, but that sounds like a reasonable price to me.
Sure. Absolutely.
This may not interest you, Ryan, but I thought maybe, you know, we'd want to talk about it some anyway, is eating in Dublin.
Yeah. I'm not a big eater when I vacation. I also want to talk about a couple pubs in this section as well. If you will indulge me. Pun intended. Oh,
absolutely. Okay. Would be one of my favorite topics too.
Yeah. I think, you know, eating in Dublin, there's going to be a lot of variety. You know, I've had certainly my share of pub food, but I've had ethnic food as well, like Indian or Thai or things like that. Anything you can get in a big city, you're going to be able to get here. But obviously the pub food, the pub culture, fish and chips, you know, the bangers and mash, the you know, the Guinness stew with the lamb. I mean, it's just, it's there, man. Seafood. I mean, Dublin is a sea town. It was founded by Vikings. I mean, so there's fish, there's all sorts of stuff. It's just an amazing culture if you like that type of food.
And so I guess you enjoyed that a little bit while you were there.
I enjoyed that a lot of bit. Yes. I enjoyed that a lot of bit. It's really good. And a lot of the pubs, you can go have dinner as well. You know, and so a couple of the pubs that I would highlight, one up in the Smithfield area where I would stay is called the Cobblestone, which is known as one of the best, trad music or traditional Irish music, pubs in the city, which makes it one of the best trad pubs in the world. And you can just go in there, and at any time there's people playing, there's small groups of people singing. I mean, it's kind of a hub of Irish music. The Brazen Head, which is one, which I believe is the oldest pub in Dublin, has wonderful food, a wonderful atmosphere. It just feels really cool. And then one of the places that I went to several times is called The Church. And it is a converted church that's been turned into a bar restaurant. It has more of a bar restaurant feel than it does a pub, but it has a really cool feel to it. Those would be three that I would highly recommend that you check out while you're there. Yeah. Take some time and get off the beaten path a little bit. You know, if there's a place that has a big sign with pictures of food, that's not where you want to eat. That's for the tourists per se.
So you can see what the food looks like if you don't speak the language. Right. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because when I saw the church and I just wondered the way it was described, I wondered if maybe that was going to be one of those more touristy gimmicky type attractions.
No, versus it's being not
authentically cool.
No, it's authentically cool. Yeah. Just like you and me, authentically cool.
Can we trademark that? Authentically cool.
So I do want to say something here. When it comes to kind of the pub culture, the bar culture in Ireland, I always really want to be sensitive to the cultures that I go visit. If I'm going to a new place, whether it's in the United States, whether it's abroad, I want to understand. Doesn't mean I have to always be politically correct. That's not what I mean. But I always want to be sensitive to what that culture. And so a couple things not to do when you're in Ireland. Don't talk with a fake Irish accent. Don't pretend to be a leprechaun. You know, you can go to the tourist shops and get a leprechaun hat and a red beard and all that kind of stuff.
Really?
That is, both of those things are highly offensive, you know, kind of talking with the Irish brogue, if that's not you. Also being really drunk is not an Irish thing. It's really not. Most of the pubs are certainly places where people drink and have a good time, and that's part of the culture. But being belligerently drunk is not. And so that's one way to make you unsafe. And that's also a way for you to really come off badly to the people that you're being around. And lastly, too, this one, Shane, don't go into an Irish bar and order a black and tan.
Really?
The black and tan.
Oh, black and tan. No, you want a half and half in an Irish bar, not a black and tan, right?
Well, you just need to be careful with how you order it. The black and tan refers to British soldiers.
Right.
And I don't know the history necessarily behind it, but I know enough when I was there that it's really kind of considered off color to order a black and tan. Because it relates back to the Troubles. It relates back to the British Irish historical. To be honest, I would just stay away and just order a Guinness or order a cider or order a Harp and leave it at that. A Smittix ale and not have the half and half. But that drink is one that we think is Irish, and we go over and we order it, and we realize that it might not have been the right thing to do.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I didn't catch on to that. You know, I did notice that the black and tan seems to be British.
Yeah.
beers versus, you know, getting a half and half with
yeah, Guinness and again, it refers back to a section of the okay. soldiers, and I've been told so, several times that's one thing to avoid.
Stick with one or the other.
Yeah, that and I mean Guinness is the beer. I mean, there are certainly other Irish beers. There are certainly other things to enjoy. Like I said, Smittick's is one. Galway Hooker is an IPA that I really enjoy when I'm in Ireland. But the Guinness just tastes different. If all you've had is a canned or a bottled Guinness in the United States, mm-hmm. it's a completely different drink over there.
And so if you go into the pub, a pub in Ireland and order a Guinness, you're not going to stand out as a tourist
not at
by
all.
Ordering a Guinness.
Nope. Not at all.
You're in Ireland. Okay.
Not gotcha. At Good all.
And then just for a matter of budgeting, I kind of did some looking and in case Great. You're wanting to know what it would cost you to eat while you're in Dublin, it looked like you could have some fast food for about 10, what would be 10 US dollars.
Yeah.
If you want that. And then I think probably where I would enjoy maybe the $10 to $15 a meal for simpler meals. Now, would that be more along the lines of the pub food?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Fish and chips, you know, a burger or something like that. Absolutely.
And then, $21 and up probably as nice as you want to get for more upscale food. So that's, yeah. that doesn't seem like a bad budget to me for eating.
It's decent city prices like in the US. I mean, nothing extravagant by any means.
So what about some day trips from Dublin? One, mm-hmm. the one that looked best to me because of our nerdiness was the Cliffs of Moher.
You have to. Oh, you have to.
So yeah, that seems like it would be a really great place to see. And then maybe try to pick out where some of the movies, because there's been some movies filmed mm-hmm. there, like The Princess Bride. There were some scenes there. And I think Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, the scene when they're going in yeah. into the cave to get the Horcrux was filmed there. So yeah, it looks like one of those rugged but beautiful
yes, absolutely.
Nature sceneries.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. So another day trip that I would suggest is north of Dublin is going up to Newgrange. And there you're going to see some of the ancient Celtic tombs. And that's an amazing place. There was an area, we took a day trip to learn a little bit more about Ireland proper. And I don't remember the area, but we went into tombs, Shane, that were older than the pyramids.
Oh, wow.
And literally you're in this tomb. And it's
amazing.
It's both the coolest and most terrifying thing at the same time. Because you're like, you know, and typical Irish weather. I mean, it was January, sure. so it was cold and it was damp and it was spitting rain. And you like crawl into this thing and you're in this oh, little wow. area and you're like, oh my God, this is so cool. Oh my God, I hate this. Oh my goodness, this is awesome. I want to leave right now. And you know, and it's just there is, you know, there's just something special about that. And again, the Irish people are excited to share their culture with you. They're excited to share their stories with you. They're excited to share. There's a lot of pride there. And so, sure. you know, taking a day trip or two outside of Dublin to, you know, like you say, go to the Cliffs of Moher or go explore some of the ancient history, even going up to Belfast, you know, you're not going to want to do a day trip necessarily out of Dublin mm-hmm. for that. But understanding the Irish culture is literally a short car ride away.
Sounds well worth the time spent, especially the tomb. That would be a fantastic experience. Okay. And then how much will it cost to go to Dublin? So I checked a few different places for a hypothetical 7-day trip. And I think I picked this June, even though I wouldn't go this June because you would have to quarantine for sure. 14 days, but just sure. to kind of get an idea of the prices. And then airfare for two, and this is from Dallas. So it might be a little more or a little less depending on where you're flying from, but from DFW into Dublin was in the $1,000 range for round trip. Two of the itineraries I looked at were in sort of they were both kind of touristy areas of okay. Dublin, but centrally located. Yeah. And I thought, you know, it would be easy to get around from there, and there would be access to some shopping, some dining, some entertainment, and it might be comfortable because sometimes that is the good, you know, we talk bad about the touristy places a lot, but there's also some comfort there too. If you're not quite comfortable traveling.
Absolutely. Yep.
But, you know, for the week, for 7 days, for the accommodations and a little bit of food, depending on how nice of a place you wanted, in the $900 range up to $1,500. So, you know, not bad for a week.
No, not bad at all.
And then another trip I looked at was 2 days in Dublin and then 5 days in a castle on the west coast of Ireland. Yeah. Okay. And that one was $1,600 per person per week. So That seems pretty cool. I think I would want to reverse it.
Yeah.
Maybe two days in the castle and 5 days in Dublin. But that seemed like a lot of fun. Both hotels that I looked at were in the O'Connell Street area. Were you familiar with that area?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's where a lot of the things that we've been talking about are within walking distance of that.
Cool. So centrally located, or if you wanted, you could probably find a quieter, more quaint place outside of that area and just travel a little more. One of the questions my friend asked was how long he should spend there. And he said he assumed 7 days. And that seems, I think we, since our weeks are 7 days and we kind of based it off our work, we always assume 7 days. But you had mentioned in our Facebook group not too long ago that Dublin would be a fun weekend trip.
If it were me, and again, I have some experience with Dublin on several trips, I wouldn't go and just be there for a week. I would either go and use it as a home base and take some day trips during my time in Dublin, or I would go to Dublin for 3 nights and then move on to a Belfast or move on to, you know, another city. If it were me, I don't think it would take 7 days to see everything there in Dublin that you wanted to see. You would definitely get comfortable being there. And if you were doing stuff like, you know, we didn't even talk about, you know, there's sports, there's theater, there's all this other stuff that you could add to your time there. But I think a full week in Dublin is probably, you'd want to see some more of Ireland.
Yeah. And that was my thinking is if you're going to travel to a foreign country, if you're going to go through the expense and the time of getting there, you should try to just stay as long as you can and maybe not, you won't stay in one place for that long, but hop around and see different parts of the country. And then if you're, you know, maybe different parts of the UK, if you were there long enough. But I think just if you just wanted that Dublin experience, 3 nights, like you said, a long weekend, I think would probably be good.
Now, could you stay in Ireland for a week? Absolutely. No question about that. I just wouldn't necessarily stay. And you had asked in our notes how long I was there. I was there for 1 week and then we moved over to London for 1 week. But there was a class associated with that. So a lot of the, you know, portions of the days we were doing class specific activities. So
did you give them a lot of homework?
I wasn't a tourist all the time.
Did you give them a lot of homework? Did you make them do a lot of homework while you were there? I could see you.
We found a good balance. How about I say that?
And then when to book. Of course, the weather's going to be nicest during the summer. And since it's going to be the nicest time to go, more people are going to want to go then. So that'll be the more expensive time to go. And as far as when to book it, I don't know that I would book it this year. I think I'd wait till next year. For 2022 at least. And then whenever it is, what do you think? 4 to 6 months in advance?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, have we piqued your interest in Ireland, in visiting Dublin? Have we answered any questions for you? Have we created more questions for you? We would love to hear them. We'd love for you to join the Facebook group. You can find that at allthingstravelshow.com/FBG. Or you can just search All Things Travel in Facebook and find us there. If we piqued your interest in planning a trip to Dublin, to Ireland, or to anywhere else, we would love to help you plan your next vacation. Reach out to us at vacationplanning@allthingstravelshow.com. And remember, it is our job to make you the vacation planning superhero.
Sláinte. Thanks for listening.
Subscribe to the show so you can join us next time on All Things Travel.
And remember, never stop exploring.